the God of all of my days. We passed into a new decade, 2020. Oh, Lord, how much closer are we to your return? How much closer? You're so good to us. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. Lord, we pray that this decade would be the next decade where people would realize the deliverance that's in the Lord, the power that's in the Spirit, and the love that's given to us freely by God the Father. Lord, I just pray. Open up the Word of God to us like never before in this year. And we'll give you all the praise. And let's just sing the chorus one more time, and then we'll go further. One more time. Just sing the chorus with me.
For sure the God of all my days, each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons changed, you've stayed.
Spirit, with your anointing, with your word, in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. This is going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year. I'm excited about this year. In fact, when I came into Sunday school, it was exciting because everyone else was already making plans for me for this year. And it's going to be an exciting year. I'm looking forward to it. God's going to do some fantastic things. You want to know one of the reasons why I know God's going to do some fantastic things in this church? Because the devil is at work trying to destroy things in this church. Not because we don't love each other. We love each other very much. But the devil is at work in people's lives trying to make them sick, trying to make them defeated, trying to let them tell them that they're not going to make it. But we know that we are going to make it because the Word of God tells us we've already made it through the power of the Holy Spirit and through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Amen? God's Word is true. It is true and it is alive. I'm excited about this year. God's going to do some great things. And there's nothing that we can't do through the power of God. There's nothing we can't accomplish if we'll trust in the Lord in 2020. We had a wonderful time with my family, with my kids. I had a wonderful time with Lauren and her husband and my grandkids over the Christmas season, couple weeks. And I just want to thank this church for allowing me to have that opportunity to spend with them. We don't always get that opportunity. And now that I've got a daughter and son who live in Australia, we don't get to see them all that often. And they were down with us, and we had a great time with them. We went to Louisville, went and visited the Louisville Slugger Museum. I got me a bat, but I didn't get one of the really nice Louisville Sluggers. I got the one that was misstamped, you know, for two reasons. Number one, because it's sort of fitting that I would have a bat that's kind of a misfit, because I'm a misfit. But, you know, the other reason is because it was the cheapest bat you could buy, you know, and so I got that. We ended up spending some time in Nashville, and we went up and down the Nashville Drag, or the main, I'm trying to think of what, Broadway, I think is what it's called, and we went up and down, and I'll tell you something, boy, I've seen talent on TV, but there is talent down there like you would not believe, and this is one of the reasons why I feel like if these people could play like they played down there, I can do anything. From what I've seen, it's unbelievable what gifts God can give people to do things. And even not even operating under the power of God, they're able to do these things. How much more can we as God's people do what God's called us to do? How much more? I saw a kid, and I was telling Stefan and several others about this. I saw a kid down there, and I tried to hire him, but I couldn't come up with enough money. But he's a guitar player, and he plays lead guitar. And he was down there going, we watched him play, and he was going up and down the neck like crazy and playing like I've never seen anybody play before in my life. And he began to play behind his back, you know, playing behind his back. And then he began to play with his teeth. And by this time, Lindsay and Luke, who, from Australia, they were amazed. They couldn't believe this. And I saw this kid play, and I thought, this kid is great. And the thing is I sort of identified with the lead singer, because the lead singer was older than me. He's like in his 70s, and he was really good. But this kid who played the lead guitar was only 19 years old. And he's one of the best. So I'm going to tell Stefan that if he's going to stay on the worship team, he's going to need to play with his teeth. Okay? And you can do it. This kid learned to play the guitar in 8 years. And after the first year of learning to play the guitar, he was signed to a contract in Nashville to this band who snatched him up. He was 12 years old when he began to play with this band. It's called the Don Henley Band or something like that. And you can get him on, and he's the most humble kid, just a nice kid. And now he's 19, and he's about a year away from his contract. And if God can give those kind of gifts to people, what kind of gifts can he give to his people that belong to him? And this kid may belong to him. I didn't get to talk with him very much. But this is a year where we need to explore, what can God do through us? If he can do these kind of things in a secular setting, what can he do through God's people who want to reach out with the power of God? How many times can we see miracles take place in this city? Can we see miracles take place anymore? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And I want to encourage everyone who's going through some difficult times, going through some hard times. Listen, it's not over with. It's not over with. We talked this morning in the book of James that faith, that if we're going to have faith, we've got to believe it. And if you're going to believe it, you've got to act on it. And we need to begin as God's people to act on what we say we believe. Do we believe that there's power in prayer? Absolutely. We need to do that. Do we believe that God can heal? Yes, we need to believe that. Do we believe that even if we go through trials and tribulations, that God is with us and he's going to make a way for us no matter what takes place or what happens or what the devil can throw at us? Do we believe that we have a God who's standing with us? Do we? Absolutely. Then there's nothing that we can't accomplish through the power of God. This is going to be a great year because it's a new year, and God says he makes his mercies new every morning. Every morning. Go with me in your Bible to the book of, I want to go to the book of Corinthians. We're going to get into the scriptures because it says it much better than I could ever say it. In 2 Corinthians, actually. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love this passage of scripture, and I want to remind us of this. In a few weeks, in about 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to bring the message on the finances of the church. I'm going to let you know where we are financially, give you all the downs and outs and what God's doing. And I've seen I think it's the year end. I'm not sure if it was, no, it was the, I don't, it's not the year end. Adam, is it? It was year end. And you know what? God's got us in a position where if nothing else changes, we know that God, things are going to get better and more people are going to come and we're going to see people saved. We know that God's going to bless us, all right? But if nothing else ever changes, we can go, I figure I could still be the pastor over the next 80 or 90 years. Okay, so God is blessing, and God is doing great things, and he's going to do even greater things because we have a vision to see him do great things. And in this passage in 2 Corinthians, he talks about newness. This last week, me and Heidi got some new cell phones. Because they were, number one, they were cheap. That was one of the main things. They were cheap. We didn't get the Samsung. We didn't get the iPhone. We got Motorola G7. None of you are impressed by that, are you? Well, that's because they didn't cost very much. But you know what they're doing? We've been sitting there and playing on our new cell phones, you know. And there's nothing like something happening that's new, that's fresh, that takes place. There's always newness that makes us feel better. Anybody buy a new pair of shoes? You get a new pair of shoes, you step a little bit higher, don't you? You get a new haircut. I got me a new haircut. I just wanted to see what it felt like, you know, because I'd forgotten from the last time I got a haircut. And boy, it feels really good. How you like my hair? Is it perfect? Is it just absolutely nice? You know, guys don't care about how their hair looks. They just want to make sure they got some up there, all right? So I got my hair cut, and that felt really good, and there's just nothing like newness. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. Every day is a new day that we can do the will of God, that we can do the work of God, that we can be used by God. Every day, if you see it, it's a new day. And now we're in a new year, but not only a new year, we're in a new decade. And it just keeps reminding me that God's coming back soon. Jesus is coming back soon. The disciples throughout the Bible keep reminding the believers that He's coming back, that He, you know, that His return is imminent and it's going to be coming soon. And that we're, even in His day, they considered it the last hour. How much closer are we? How much closer are we? He gives us newness every day, every hour, and yes, every minute that you recognize that He's there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I better get to the scripture, I won't get through my sermon. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul begins to talk to the Corinthian church. And he begins to explain some things to the believers. And in verse 12, I'm just going to start there and begin to read, get to where I need to get to. He says in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are sound mind, it is for you." In other words, that there are going to be people, because we speak the word of God, because we talk the word of God, there's going to be people that think we're crazy. And all that Paul has to say to those people is, if we're crazy, it's for God's sake that we're crazy. But if we are of sound mind, then it's for your sake that we are. That's a little bit convoluted and a little bit difficult to understand, except that he's saying, you know what? If you think we're crazy, we are, and we're doing it for God. And if you think that we're right on, we are, and we're doing it for God, and it's for you. He goes on, he says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. He tells us exactly where mankind's position is. If you want to know why Jesus had to come, he's telling us, this is why. Why? Because if one came to die for all, then all were dead. In other words, before you came to know Christ, before you actually received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were already dead. See, it's not about whether you're living the way that you're supposed to, because the Bible makes it clear that there is none righteous. No, not a single person is righteous. No one is righteous. You're all dead. You're all condemned. That's the bad news. Now we're going to get into some good news. Because if you were all dead, see, this is where, you know, even with my own family and my own, even some of my kids, I have to sort of explain it to them. because they think that the main theme of the Bible is love. And it's not. It's not? No. It's not about, it's not the main theme. Love is a theme, and it's a very important theme, but it's not the theme of the Bible. Love is a theme. Oh, well then, it must be about helping other people. That must be the main theme of the Bible, is to help other people. And see, some people think that. No, it's not about that. No, that's a theme. That's an important theme, but it's not the theme. The theme of the Bible, including the Old Testament and the New Testament, if to solve any confusion, the theme of the Bible is one word, and it comes in the name of God the Son, Jesus. That's the theme of the Bible, Jesus. Jesus is presented in the Old Testament. In fact, when we were going through the Old Testament, we found Jesus almost every place that we went. It was pointing to the Savior who was to come, to bring something new, to bring something that was different. The Old Testament was being done away with. It wasn't being pushed away with. It wasn't being done away with. It was being fulfilled. Let me correct that. It wasn't being done away with. It was being fulfilled in what was to come, which was something new, something fresh. Jesus came to fulfill what was in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is about Jesus from cover to cover, and when we get into the New Testament, that's the main theme of the New Testament, is Jesus. Because without Jesus, you can't have love. Without Jesus, you can't help people properly. You can help them, but you can't help them with what they really need, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, there's a lot of social welfare out there that's good. It helps people. But it doesn't always help them with what they really need. Because what they really need is a relationship with God. And that's what the whole Old Testament points to, is the coming of the one who is the theme of the Bible. And then when he comes in the New Testament, it's all about him. It's all about him. Something very new. Something, he said, I've got a new covenant. I make a new agreement with you. It's not going to be based on your actions. It's going to be based on my action. And you just have to believe in what I've done for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all had died. And he's making this point. He goes on and he says this. For all things are for your sake. Well, let me go back to verse 14. Or no. Verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge that if one died for all, then all died. In verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And here's the scripture I wanted to get to. In verse 16, he says this. Therefore, from now on. Everyone say, from now on. From now on. If you've seen the Greatest Showman, he's got a song. You know, he's about to, from now on. In fact, if you watch The Greatest Showman, it's really a show. I don't know if it's really the life of The Greatest Showman, who is, what's his name? Huh? P.T. Barnum. But it's really about the redemption of a man who finally comes to the place where he realizes that living for the world and living for money and living for mammon and living for all these other things really isn't the answer. It's to love his family. And he finally comes to this place where he is renewed. He is restored back to his family and an understanding that it's about him and his family. Well, that doesn't quite match the gospel, but it does give us an idea that from now on, when a person comes to Christ, they come to this place where they finally decide, from now on, I'm going to live for Christ. From now on, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. From now on, I'm going to begin to appreciate him more than anything else. From now on. Therefore, from now on, We don't regard one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. In other words, we've come to the realization that Jesus Christ was not just a good prophet. We come to the realization that Jesus Christ was not just a good teacher, although they called him that and they called him a prophet. We come to the place where we realize that he's not just a great priest or rabbi. From now on, we don't consider him according to the flesh. Instead, we consider him according to the Spirit, and that he is the very Son of God, and thus, yes, God the Son. God himself. The mystery is revealed. He's God. And from now on, that's how we look at him. And that's a lesson that we need to realize for ourselves. And let me ask you this. From now on, do you look to yourself according to the flesh? Or do you look at yourself and see somebody in the Spirit? Because let me tell you, if you're a born-again believer, if you've received Christ as your Lord, God does not look upon you in the same way. He sees you as one of his sons or one of his daughters in him. From now on, that's how God sees you. I'm a son of God. Well, Pastor, that's awfully arrogant of you. No. Don't mean it to be arrogant. If I'm coming off that way, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be arrogant. I'm trying to be truthful. I'm telling myself the truth. And if I'm telling myself the truth, I need to believe it. And I saw this kid play that guitar. I thought, man, this kid's out of this world. I'm sorry, Ann. I was going up there to offer him a job to be your assistant. I can tell you, listen, if you'd have heard him play, you will have wished I was able to do that. I'm sure he's going to be a millionaire pretty soon. I mean, he's just got it. And as I was going up there and watching him play, I thought, God, you're so good. You're so good. But God can do that for each and every one of us. Not necessarily make us the great guitar player that this kid was, but can use us in the same capacity for the body of Christ that he's using this kid to amaze the people that were sitting there watching him. And I'm going to tell you something. When he started playing, they were fixated. I was fixated. My kids were fixated. My daughter looked over at me like this. As if she never knew anybody could play a guitar like that before. Well, when God makes you new, there's nothing you can't do for Christ. And even when you think you're doing mundane things, you know, when you think you're not really doing anything special, God is working in you for your benefit and the benefit of those around you. That's why it's so important that that we come and gather together. That 2020 needs to be, we need to be gathering together more and more often, because you don't realize what you do for somebody that you may be sitting next to. You don't realize what God is doing in you and through you to somebody that's sitting around you. You come in here and don't realize that you may have put a smile on somebody else's face just by them seeing that you're here. And then when they're about ready to go and they're about ready to leave and you come up there and say hi to somebody, you don't realize what you do in somebody else's life. And share the gospel with them or pray with them or tell them that you love them or tell them, you know, what they're thinking about you. You don't realize what you did to me when you offered, asked me to come forward and gave me a card and a loving gift telling me that you appreciate me being here. What that does to me. Or Dave saying that he wishes I was here, hopes I'm here another 10 years. Well, good luck on that, my friend. No, I've already made a commitment to be here for many years from now, and it could be 10 years. But it's going to be at least until I can't work anymore. And why? Because of what you did on the inside of me. That's what God wants to use you for other people to do. And you may do for somebody else the same thing that this kid on the stage was doing for people as they watched him play. And when they found out that the kid was only 19 years old, they thought, if God can use that kid at 19 years old, what can he do for me with the world experience that I have for somebody else? What can he do? Miracles. 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 He goes on and he continues. Therefore, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Everyone say new creation. That new creation, the word that's used in the Greek is the word metamorpho. That word metamorpho is the same word where we get the word metamorphosis. Okay? He says, we are a new creation. I look back at my life and I see all the mistakes. How many of you made mistakes? Yeah, you bunch of liars. You know, I'm just kidding you. Don't get mad. No. How many have made mistakes, really? Have you made mistakes before? Have you done things that maybe were displeasing to yourself? This doesn't even have to do with displeasing God. I mean, I know I've displeased God in my life, but I look back at my life so many times and I see that I've displeased myself. Have you ever done this where you thought of something that you did way back when and you go, oh, what an idiot? Or am I the only one? What a dummy. How in the world could I have thought that? How in the world could I have done that? You know, and you look back at this. See, what God does is he takes his blood that was shed on the cross, and he takes that blood and he pours it over you in the Spirit, and that anointing, that Spirit, and he makes you new. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 50 years ago. I'm not going further than that. I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. Every day is a new day for me. I can be what God's called me to be every day. It doesn't matter what happened 5 years ago. Doesn't matter what happened 3 years ago. Today's a new day. Because he makes all things new. And I am a new creation. I have been metamorphosized from the person I used to be, and now I'm a different person. This, the beginning of a new year, always gives us that opportunity to realize that the next year doesn't have to be the same as the last year. You may have had difficulties in the last year. You may have some in this year, but this year does not have to be the same as last year, except the good parts. You want to bring them along. For we are a new creation. Old things have passed away, it says. Behold, all things become new. You know what that word means in the Greek where it says all things? You know what that word means? All things. All things. Become new. All things become new. Now, look at verse 18. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone who's called everyone who's in this room who's a believer in Christ, if you're not a believer in Christ, this doesn't apply to you. You can sit this one out. But if you're a believer in Christ, if you're a Christian, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you have received him as your Lord and Savior, you are called to be a reconciler of those who have not yet been reconciled. We had an opportunity. I've spoken. Luke and Lindsay still in Colorado. And they'll be there for a couple more days. We just got a call from our Lindsay and Luke just a couple days ago. Oh, I can't say anything, can I? They only said a couple days. All right, honey. It's a good thing she's there to keep me in check. Well, let me just say this. That all things are new. Where I wanted to go with that, I can say, though. Because on our Christmas Eve service, many of you who were here for our Christmas Eve service, Lindsay, my daughter Lindsay, and her boyfriend Luke came to that service. That was the first church service he's ever been in his entire life. And after the conversation that I had with him the first time, I wasn't sure I was ever going to be able to get him into church. But he came, and he heard the gospel. And I talked to him about it afterwards. And he didn't really want to say a whole lot, because he hasn't really made that decision yet. But he said, well, I believe that what you said has done a lot for those that are listening. I said, how profound. How profound. That's exactly right. It did a lot for those who were listening. And those who weren't, it didn't do anything for them, because they weren't listening. This year is a year that we need to be listening to what God says, because it's a new year, and you're a new creation. And you're, if you are a believer in Christ, he says all things become new. And he says, you know what, the mercies are new every morning. Every day is a new day. We've heard the kind of the cheesy statement, you know, today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's so cheesy. You heard that like a million times? The fact is that's absolutely true. The problem is that every time we have a new day, we don't realize how important that day can be. It could change the eternity of a person. Somebody's eternity is going to be changed today. Somewhere. Because someone realized that they were a new creation in Christ and they were going to make a difference in somebody's life. That's the blessing of newness. In Psalms 30, verse 1 through 5, I'm not going to go through all the verses, but he says, there's always joy in the morning. Always joy in the morning. No matter what we go through or where we're at, God has newness for us. A new day is a new day for joy in Christ. My encouragement for you today, if you want to get anything out of what I've said, and I've shot a scattergun at you today at a lot of different things, but here's what I want you to know is today is a new day, and you are a new creation. It is going to be what you make of it, not what used to be, but what God has for you. For this upcoming year. Walk in it. Walk in it. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward.